It's lovely. It's a little chilly out. We are joined by the one true king of the AV Club. Oh. Is that your new title now, John Tatey?
I actually missed his middle name, Snow.
Snow?
John Snow Tatey.
Oh, yeah, I'd like that.
So I saw
Although I guess that implies that I was birthed out of wedlock.
Not true, because you're the one true king of the North, the one true king of all of Westeros. So
you just have
a bad story. No, we got into it quick, Patty. We're doing Game of Thrones all night long. Esmeralda?
Is no one gonna... I don't know. Doesn't he have people after him and things?
Isn't he dead?
Let's not, you know...
Where are his dragons?
Here. He doesn't have dragons.
Where are his...
Eggs. Dragon eggs.
There you go.
There's the blood and stuff. I don't know. Big one with a sword and all the mud.
He's got sweet, sweet locks of hair, though.
When does Game of Thrones come back that you're...
April 24th.
April, so it's very, very soon.
So soon.
All right, then.
Just a couple weeks now.
Well, wasn't there a party and Jon Snow was not there? Was not the party, so they were all speculating that perhaps he's not coming back.
I mean, everybody speculated on every small snippet of news regarding Jon Snow and or Kit Harington, the actor who plays Jon Snow, and all of it is just noise until we actually see some TV shows. At this point, they've been very crafty at keeping the interest up, but it's all just noise. We need to watch the show, and it's close enough now that we can stop with the speculation and the nonsense and just wait for the reality to come.
And it is amazing how many shows have been spawned by, sort of birthed by Game of Thrones, because Outlander seems to be something that maybe they were willing to take a chance on. Black Sails, I think a lot of those shows.
Good point.
All these, because when I was pitching stuff in Hollywood, like they would tell us we don't want period pieces, and the next thing you know, Game of Thrones comes out, and all bets are off as far as doing these travel back in time.
Yeah,
and I can't even name them all. There are so many shows that
I have
deal
not
with.
Seen Outlander, but I've heard a lot of good things about that. Have you seen that?
I have not, but I am binge watching Orange is the New Black. And two of the women who run the library are talking about that book and about travel, you know, about the sex and everything. By the way, I had a fever Sunday night into yesterday, and I was binge watching Orange is the New Black for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of when you're immobile, what
Which
am I going to watch?
Seasons?
I'm now in the middle of season 3.
Hey, guys.
I've seen them all.
You're getting just a little bit off topic. I want to bring you right back. Make sure we stay on topic tonight.
Do you know what it's like to watch a show like Orange is the New Black when you're battling a fever? I was starting to have dreams about being in prison. So I wake up like in the sweat, like thinking that like Crazy Eyes was sitting on top of me. It was
especially that
it was
first
startling.
Season of Orange is the New Black has an edge to it. It has a sort of daunting reality to it. And now it's all kind of like plinky plunky. I call it prison high school now.
Well, I think if you watch them much closer together, as I have, all on top of each other, one, two, and three, it's not that bad of a progression. Because Craig told me the same thing. He wasn't quite like. I think that the season 3 opens with Mother's Day.
Yeah, good.
It was
Lord.
So dark.
It's like activity day at the junior high. It's ridiculous.
But one of the things I love is you have these characters that kind of come in and out, right? They pass through the day at some point in Piper's reality, right?
Yes.
Whatever encounter she has. And then as you go along, we learn more about Piper's past and how she ended up here. I do love the flashbacks of how each person that right now I'm in.
Too.
I just finished the one with I just finished Ching Chong Chang. Which was the
I'm not going to touch that one.
No, it's the name of the episode.
Okay.
It's the name of the episode. They make fun of the prisoner who is Asian.
I see.
And we learn how she got there, which is a pretty cool story. I mean, like all of their stories of how they got there are really, I think, well done.
I do love the flashbacks, and that's
so
a great
good.
Storytelling device. I'm glad they stuck with that. And
the bank robber. So good.
The effectiveness of those flashbacks really helped steer the show away from a focus on Piper to more of an ensemble feel.
I agree. So I'm enjoying that show. And I'm sure that Game of Thrones is a wonderful ensemble. That's not an ensemble at all because they're all in different worlds.
No, they're
an ensemble's kind of like if they're
all going to get together at some point with the dragon.
Like Friends is an ensemble cast.
I disagree with how you're categorizing that.
Ensemble?
I think it's definitely an ensemble show because there is no, in fact, Game of Thrones very much so. There is no one main character. The closest you could come to arguing there's a main character would be Tyrion or Daenerys. But as you say, Daenerys is off in the east, not really connected with the rest. So, wouldn't you say that's an ensemble show, Craig?
There's no true star of the show. Yeah, there is one true king, but there's no true star.
That's right.
Good to know. Good to make that clarification early and often, shall we? Poor Craig. Are you going to make it till April 24th? Are you going to watch the season premiere, or are you going to let a couple stack up and then watch three in a row?
I will have to watch it.
I will watch it live. You got to get on.
Is it the kind of thing that people will spoil it for you? Or
Especially episode 1, because Jon Snow, we got to find out. right?
Yeah. And
do you think that they'll, I'm sorry.
So much of the fun of the show is the conversation that ensues immediately after it airs. It's one of the few shows that remains event television.
Right. It seems to be. I remember when it first started coming out. You know who loved it at the beginning, and I don't know if he still does? John Williams is a big fan of the show.
The composer?
No, John Williams, the radio host on WGN.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
How embarrassing.
No, why should
I should
you?
Know the talent.
No, but he's on the weekends. He was when he was here full time. He now also hosts a show 5 days a week, weekdays in Minnesota, in Minneapolis.
Really?
So he does a show.
And then he does a weekend show here?
A weekend
when does
show
he
here?
Sleep?
Well, it was Sunday.
That's the only day of the week he does not do a radio show.
He gets to sleep on Sundays. We allow him.
I love that.
That day of rest. I believe it's all blocked out for him. Pretty sure that's what it says on the schedule.
It just says sleep.
We should have the radio station closed down for all of Sunday. Shh, everyone, John Williams is sleeping. He's one of my favorites. He's really good. But he was, I remember listening to him talk about Game of Thrones, and when I would hear him talk about it and all the callers, I would, you know, try to check it out, and just, there's so much mud. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Craig Collins, our producer, running everything, Esmeralda Leon, up in traffic, making sure the roads are clear for you. And if they're not, there's nothing she can really do about it except tell you that they're not clear. Rob Martier in the newsroom, and John Tatey, the senior editor of the AV Club. No, the editor-in-chief. I keep demoting you. One true king, John Snow King Tatey.
John Snow Tatey.
John Snow Tatey. Yeah. That's what it was. I have to eat up some of his time as our guest with a personal gripe that I have. Craig, I told you last week that I was having trouble with my FlexSpend account for 2015. The deadline to submit receipts was March 31st, and I did all of that. And I got the screen that said claim approved, payment pending on one of them, right? So I was like, cool. So all my receipts went through.
Approved is a good word.
Approved is good. I had put way too much money in my FlexSpend account. But because we have my boys, Declan often needs, like, whether it's physical therapy. Last year he needed oral surgery. We just knew it would add up to a lot of money. So, and we looked at our bills previously and we said, let's put $2,500 in our FlexSpend account. I did not do that again this year. That was too much.
My understanding of what this is, because we used to have it at work, and we just got rid of it, is it's a health savings account, right?
Yes.
An HSA, and it's a way for companies to basically not give you great health insurance,
oh,
but make up for it by giving you this other account.
Is that what it is?
That's what it was at The Onion. We had some pretty crummy insurance, and they made up for it where they were like, we'll give you this HSA account and this money you can spend however
you
want.
So John should know that ours is an optional addition to your insurance.
Yeah, it's an addition.
It's not part of your insurance mandated.
Yeah,
so.
you can it's different. You can opt in.
This is different than when we had that.
No, and like my husband, when Steve was working at a corporate office, he had really good health benefits, and on top of that had an FSA, FlexSpend account.
I see.
So basically it's a money you put aside that is not taxed because it will be used for health spending. And they hold on to it. But if you don't use it all, you don't claim it all, submit receipts for it, you lose it.
Oh.
Which, when Steve lost his job, we had $1,200 outstanding in our FlexSpend account. And the only way to maintain it was to continue paying our COBRA. If I dropped the COBRA and the insurance, I would just lose that whole $1,200.
That COBRA is a killer.
Ugh. So I had receipts for $438, $500, and $1,771. And I had to add up to $2,500. So I got the screen that said claim approved, payment pending on the $1,771, which was for Declan's oral surgery. And then we got the check. The payment, because we had paid out of pocket and we're just being reimbursed for $1,171 instead of the whole $1,771. So now the deadline has passed for submitting any other receipts, which I had plenty of. And Steve, I told Steve I should just oversubmit so that we can, you know, just in case something goes wrong. He's like, no, look how much we have over. These have all been approved.
Right.
So I slept comfortably thinking I had covered all my bases.
The bureaucracy would work.
So I called today to ask why the check was for $1,171 instead of $1,771, and the hour of condescending tone that me and the woman on the other end of the line used was such a vicious circle of, I understand what you're saying, but can you understand what I'm saying? And basically they had subtracted $500, they said they had substitute verified that bill, which was for orthodontics, by using Declan's oral surgery from Lurie's Hospital. Two different services, one for Declan, one for Griffin, but they use that bill to verify the orthodontia.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
so
pretty
they were
crafty switcheroo there.
So
and in the process ended up saving themselves $600. Whoops.
Yes. And so they use another bill to verify something else. And so I'm leaving $286 on the table of money I'm not getting back.
That makes no sense. They're like, you know what? This bill was expensive, so let's choose a different kid and a different bill. That's totally fine.
I don't. And they're like, they were like, no, but we use this to verify this. I'm like, but I don't know why you would do that. And also not give me the heads up. This was before the 31st that this was verified, and let me know that I still had 200. It's not their responsibility to do that. But from what I could see, so we went round and we danced. We danced.
Do you entertain
hard.
Any possibility that this was a mistake?
It seems to be that they feel completely justified, and this is their policy of how they justify how this adds up to them.
Doesn't make sense.
Is this like when the banks would do that? The thing, like if you spent too much, or no, when you buy a bunch of stuff during the day and they like they move them around.
Right.
Then
yes.
They,
right.
They charge the cheaper stuff, and then the more expensive things come later, and they bite you in the butt.
Yep.
This is also a lot like the time that I went to the ATM and asked for money, and they gave me stamps.
Yeah, that's...
And they're like, that's the same as money.
Did you ever hear this story? He got stamps out of an ATM machine when he was trying
to... I went to an ATM.
Not like food stamps,
money.
Like postage stamps.
Yeah, like postage
stamps. I've seen that they do that now, but that's not the equivalent
of
money.
No, it's not. But
maybe
it's the same thing.
Maybe
they just
in prison.
To change. They're like, yeah, right. They're like,
if V was running things... I'm sorry.
Nice.
I might be watching too much.
That's
fine.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that either.
Stamps came out.
And they talked to him like he was crazy.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, we're sure that happened, sir. And then later they found out a lot of people complained. So yeah, it happened.
That happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they told me that...
Stamps.
That's not money.
It's
you
not.
Can't give it to people and pay for stuff. That's not how that works.
They will they will not accept that as payment for anything.
I can use it to send like letters to my family asking for money.
You better get crafty with that pen. Start writing a lot of letters. Just start warming up that wrist. That sounds wrong. because it's a lot of writing.
Yeah, right.
Maybe
you could always
type.
You
don't
want to get a cramp.
You could always type up a letter.
Yeah, I could probably.
If you want.
You're right.
I'm not going to force you to.
Yeah, but a handwritten note nowadays, that seems so genuine, so real. People don't do that.
Hey, speaking of antiquated bureaucracies and writing, kind of, actually.
Yes.
I read an interesting story today about how the National Weather Service is now finally going to stop issuing their weather bulletins in all caps.
Oh.
Which they have been doing since the 19th century in the era of the telegraph. And now they are finally going to become modern enough to have mixed case bulletins.
And all caps when it's a category 5?
Ever? Yeah, they'll yell at you when it's a big deal.
Appropriate.
I was going to say, but all weather is serious business.
Yeah. Well, I kind of... Who was that weather guy we had before the big snowstorm this winter? Remember we had him on the air? I would love to check in with him sometime and say how... Because it seemed like there were some people who were distressed by this.
Right. And
end of a tradition.
We promised that we would talk to him when the weather was mild, but now I have to go back.
I can call the National Weather Service tonight. We can make this happen.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's the same guy.
Let's call him find out if he's aware about the lowercase usage now in the weather alerts.
I'm going to call them.
Like the all caps.
I don't,
there's something about it. It looks very neat.
I like it
neat.
Too. I'm with you, Esmeralda. It looks official and it looks exciting, but apparently they said that people on the internet were interpreting it as
him, yelling.
It looked like yelling, and they're
funny.
Well, to move beyond that.
People are insane.
Well, there's one person on my Facebook feed that posts all of his stuff in all caps, and it's all pro-Trump stuff. So I'm not sure if he feels
what
like
a surprise.
That's different, though.
When someone does all caps on Facebook?
Yeah, because that's like you're talking. This is more just information being put out. I feel it's not a person giving like a report.
It seems like it should be more urgent.
It reminds me of Walter Cronkite in the CBS Evening News newsroom with the teletype machines behind him. You know, that always used to be the sound effect of TV news, that
da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I was going to do that noise, and I'm glad that you did, because I can't do it very well. You did it much
hard.
Better.
It's a hard one.
It is. Well, I'll work on some other noises after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by the editor-in-chief, John Tatey of the AV Club. And he wanted to brought an article to our attention that what's exciting about this is that we are going to talk about a visual form, art form for all intents and purposes.
On the radio.
But do we have people pull out their phones and look at their emojis at their smiley faces? When was the first time you remember using like a smiley face? And we called them emoticons at first, didn't we?
Well, emoticons are we still use the term emoticons for the typed one. So if you type a colon and then a closed parenthesis to make a smiley face, that's an emoticon.
Only
and
now your phone will often autofill a smiley face.
Sometimes your phone will substitute an emoji in there, yeah. But the emoji are the icons, and they originated in Japan. And I actually lived in Japan God, how long ago was it now? 12 years ago. And they had emoji on the flip phones then. So my wife and I used them to talk to each other when we were living there.
Did you have whole conversations in emoji?
Yeah, because you can put together little sentences just to like let you know, let the other person know what you're up to, or send funny little, you know, cutesy messages to each other. And if you, they're kind of like hieroglyphs, right? If you string a few of them together, you can make a little message. If you have a train and then a post box, it's like, hey, I'm on the way to mail that letter, or whatever it is.
Okay.
So these folks at the University of Minnesota Group Lens Research Lab, this is an article by Hannah Miller you can find on the internet, I'm sure, if you search for Group Lens Emoji Study. Mm-hmm. What they did is they looked at how the same emoji represented on different platforms actually is interpreted differently by people. So what we have here is the grinning face with smiley eyes emoji. And if you take out your phone, this is the emoji with a toothy grin and kind of squinting eyes. And it looks different on each. It looks different depending on what kind of phone you have. It looks different if you're looking at Twitter or Facebook.
Right.
And what they did is they had people rate them -5 to +5, -5, what the emotion was that they got out of this.
Right.
And they found that at the high end, the Google and Samsung versions of the grinning face with smiling eyes emoji was interpreted very positively. And yet the Apple version of the same emoji was slightly negative.
Well, because that's – okay, so I don't know if I can explain this, but that smile that is a toothy grin looks kind of like a wincing smile.
Exactly.
And I have that as an option on my Samsung, but I also have the toothy grin, which looks happy.
Right.
And is positive.
Right.
Is received positively. Because this one looks like, I'm kind of like, oops, I said that.
Right.
But, kind of a thing.
But you send it, if I have an iPhone, you have Samsung phones.
I have to send you an emoji and see what it looks like to you.
So if I have an iPhone and I bring up this grinning face emoji and send it to you, I may have a very different emotion in mind than when it arrives on your end. And you see a different icon, the one that Samsung has designed for that same emoji. Mm-hmm. So the idea here is that it could make for some messy conversations because people interpret these differently. I'm actually totally fine with that. I love different.
You like mess?
Yes, I do. I'm a pop culture critic. I like multiple interpretations. I like a little messiness in there. And I think this is how language works. And in fact, that's how language evolves, you know?
And this study was done by a woman who is, she's curious, she's passionate about studying how we can design technology to improve quality of life and social interaction for people. Mm-hmm. Because maybe some people are more comfortable using images or that they receive it in a different way. Much the same way that Esmeralda and I were talking about watching a show and it looks like there's too much mud or dirt. Maybe some people, that's appealing to them, whereas like with too much word, like I can't text that much of a conversation to somebody, so if I can just add a picture, I'm good with that too.
Exactly. And they're fun, and they add a certain looseness to the conversation that I really like. I've always liked them, and I was shocked. I thought they were always going to be a Japan-only thing, because when I came back to the States 12 years ago,
none
of the phones had them. Mm-hmm. And then it started to catch on, and I was like, yeah, guy, I was into this before it was cool. Guys, get on board. But I'm so thrilled that they've become a part of our popular culture. You see them everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, there was for the Special Olympics polar plunge, there was a whole team of emoji. Oh, I'll have to look this up for you.
Really?
Yeah, everyone had a different. I wish I'd been able to do it. I was doing the Fight for Air Climb at the exact same time. But Jen Kramer, who is the director of entertainment and special events at Navy Pier, she had a whole team, and it was awesome. They all polar plunge with these huge emojis. Let me pull up her picture for you.
If
you
go to Jen Kramer from the show, I haven't seen her in a long time. Do you have her on still?
Absolutely. It's just one of those scheduling things. She's so busy. But if you go to Jen Kramer's Facebook page, it's actually her banner picture, so it's pretty cool. They all had different emoji. It was really cool.
Real life, huge emoji. Oh, I love that.
And everyone's wearing kind of black, so they're just the emoji jumping.
Yeah, that is so cute.
Isn't that amazing? I know, I could have been an emoji.
And this is another interesting thing, is that these are all based on the Apple-style emoji, which have sort of become the default against which everything else is judged.
Yeah, because I have these too. I have all these, the blowing the heart, you know, the sunglasses.
So your phone has different libraries and you can switch different styles? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if I have different styles, but if I go to my emoji library, I have all the same ones that look like they're kind of what she has on there.
I'm
too.
Kind of
yes. Those are the Apple designs.
And all my Samsungs have it
on
your
Samsung.
I kind of really like the Bitmojis.
What are the Bitmojis?
Bitmoji is an app that creates an emoji that looks like your face. So it's actually me and a bunch of the emoji.
And I believe Michelle Amour, a favorite, she just learned how to do her Bitmoji.
Yeah, it's very fun.
She's very excited about that.
You get to design yourself to look like you.
Well, now here's another interesting wrinkle, because there's this whole now industry of custom emoji, including Bitmoji, and you might often see on Twitter, like, well, when Star Wars was about to come out, if you hashtag Star Wars, it would attach this little, like, droid emoji in there. So there's the universal set of emoji, which are set by which are determined by the Unicode Consortium. It's this international organization.
I saw this whole thing on Colbert's show.
Did you?
I saw this. Did you see where they're... Yes, go ahead.
I did not see it on Colbert's show, but I love that
they've made a Colbert emoji. It's going to come out in 2017.
The raised eyebrow emoji,
yes.
Right? Yes, yes. And so those are the official ones, and then there's this whole universe of other emoji. So there's a whole different consideration that goes into the sort of custom ones, which aren't standardized. But I also think they're another evolution of this visual language, and you can't control it. You can't contain it to this one consortium.
I do. It is fun to kind of see if there's a... Do you use emoji, Esmeralda?
Oh, totally. It helps when you write something. It gives, because sometimes people will misinterpret what you write. Mm-hmm. But if there's a little picture of someone being silly, it helps.
Yeah, a little wink.
Now I feel like going through all my texts and see when and why I use emojis, and if there's certain people I use them more often.
I like the blushing emoji for when I'm apologizing. It's a good way to say oops.
So, because I use the blushing apology also when someone's giving me a compliment or something. I do the close eyes.
That's a good one.
I like the side eye one, or the that's like rolling its eyes.
Yes,
that's my favorite.
I've never used this one. It's got like a squinted eyes, like, and the mouth is all wrinkled. Like I don't know if it's angry. I've never known what that one was.
I always interpret that one as sort of like sick.
Yeah. See, I told you this was going to be a great segment where we're like describing
emoji to the listeners. Yeah.
It happens. You know what? We should have our texters text us their emoji. I don't think it comes through on the text screen. I don't think we get to interpret it through our text screen.
It doesn't come up on the computer?
I don't know. No? Craig's saying no.
It does not.
It does not.
We do not in our app.
If someone sends an emoji right now to Craig, what does it turn out to be?
Just type. Because someone did try to send an emoji a minute ago, and I have like a P, and then I think they tried to do a tongue out face.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for the tongue out. Uh-huh. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Again, the off-air conversation. I've talked about my in-laws on the show before. I have an in-law that is very involved in politics in D.C. and is part of Governor Snyder's defense team. So there you go. That's going to be fun at the holidays.
Speaking of politics and off-air conversations, before the show, we were talking about Trump a little bit and mm-hmm. watching him with Anderson Cooper. You have great admiration for Anderson Cooper's...
I've enjoyed the kind of questions he's asked all the candidates.
Anderson Cooper really knows how to be polite and aggressive at the same time.
Yeah.
And it works well with Trump. But, you know, one fascinating thing to me about Trump has been how he, even though he has said so many reprehensible things, he also has said a number of things that no other politician would say and also happened to be correct, which I think is another part of his appeal. Mm-hmm. And tonight he was talking about the GOP primary system.
Being a mess.
Being a mess and mm-hmm. being somewhat fraudulent or rigged, at least. And of course, couldn't be a more self-serving statement to make, but he also happens to be right. And this is at the root of the GOP mess right now, which is that the primary process is pitched as a democratic process, and yet it's not behaving like that now.
Right.
You know, it's Ted Cruz sort of scheming for all these delegates, and there's this whole phenomenon now of dark delegates, of delegates mm-hmm. that are assigned without being connected to any sort of democratic process, and there's all these arcane rules as to how to assign them and how to get them to the convention.
And they kind of knew that this was going to be happening, all the brokering and this behind the you know, closed doors, negotiating and navigating.
At a certain point, they knew. But I think that the scale of it has not only taken Donald Trump off guard, but I think has taken many observers of the political machine off guard. Just how many rules there are to exploit and how much the party establishment or party elite, which are just terms that are worn out at this point, can put their thumb on the scale to tip it one way or the other. But you didn't seem sympathetic when I was saying this to you. Is it just because Trump was saying?
Well, I think that Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton could also have the same situation when it comes to delegates and, you know, who has the popular vote and who has the number of sort of the delegates can go one way or the other. Is that part of the situation
that's
too?
That's possible. It's possible on the Democratic side.
I'm not seeming sympathetic because it seems, how do I put it? It seems so ridiculous at this point and hard to wrap my mind around that I haven't sat down and looked at what does it mean to not get the delegates that you deserve, whether it's state by state, whether it's a caucus, the primaries, you know.
But that's what they're counting on. Nobody wants to wrap their head around it, right? And the argument from Reince Priebus and other RNC officials has been, well, these were the rules, and you knew what they were going to be last year when all this started. But just because those were the rules doesn't mean it's fair. And I think
that anybody looked at them and tried to figure out what that's going to mean down the road.
Yeah, I mean, who was doing? Nobody was doing that. Nobody expected this kind of mess. As far as the Democratic
and
side,
there, is it a mess because the establishment doesn't want Trump and they want? But I think Trump was saying nobody wants Cruz, and we've talked to a lot of Republicans who don't think that Cruz is an appealing option either.
No.
So I mean, then is that why there's conversation about Paul Ryan possibly coming in? That's what they were talking about Mitt Romney months ago, trying to figure out who else could they slip in.
Yeah, and Paul Ryan said today, you know, and of course he'd say this, but today it seemed to be forceful enough to actually be convincing. Maybe it was today or yesterday, but he said he addressed the delegates and said that he would not accept the nomination if they gave it to him, and he should not be considered. And he believed that whoever was the nominee should be someone who has campaigned, who has participated in the primary process.
Right, which that makes sense.
Well, it was good of him because he was being kind of tricksy lately with his, you know, he put together this ad that looked for all the world like a presidential campaign ad without saying as much last week.
Right.
And that really turned up the heat on this notion that he's going to be the white knight who swoops in. This whole idea of Romney coming in, I mean, that would just be a disaster, I think.
Well, and what purpose would it serve except to really fracture the Republican Party?
Right. The only point of bringing in the quote-unquote white knight would be to unify the party.
Right.
Can I make a recommendation, a TV recommendation, as I often do on the show? I have been hooked lately. I've just been watching a lot of cable news this year, as I think many people have. And I really have been convinced that cable news does have a purpose. I think people criticize it a lot because it's this 24-hour news cycle, and it can be this superficial conversation. But I think there's some good stuff, and my favorite show right now is Chris Matthews' Hardball, which I feel like not a lot of people talk about anymore because he's been doing it for so long. He's been doing pretty much the same show for so long.
Right.
Well,
is it partly because MSNBC is that on MSNBC?
Yeah, yeah, right. MSNBC.
Well, and I think that so Fox and MSNBC have become kind of, they're so incredibly far apart from each other politically. People just see MSNBC as entirely just for Democrats.
Yes.
And Fox is entirely for Republicans. Is that partly why people stay away? Even if they are Democrats, they're like, well, I know what I believe. And well, Republicans don't want to listen to it.
I think the Hardball show gets a good rating, but yeah, not like anything on Fox News. And yes, it is associated with this leftward slant. And look, Chris Matthews used to work for Tip O'Neill. He's definitely left-leaning, but he's not the sort of dogmatic lefty that many of the other talents on the
right, like Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, but you know, the more interesting comparison to me between Chris Matthews and some of the other personalities, I'll single out Rachel Maddow. In fact, is Rachel Maddow comes from a talk radio background, and not even talk radio like WGN, but like a political talk radio background. Right,
she's very laser-sighted on what she wanted to accomplish with her show, the radio show.
Yes, she's, and yet her rhythms are so drawn out. You know how those political, you know, whether it's the right or the left, how they have these long pauses and these long builds. And her TV show is really built the same way. It has this really slow building rhythm as she sort of patiently hypes up each story. And I like to compare that to Chris Matthews, who does not come from talk radio background, has always been on TV, and I think feels the force of the time slot constraints, and he doesn't waste any time. He doesn't bother to build anything up. He doesn't repeat himself like Rachel Maddow does so much. And I find the rat-a-tat-tat rhythm so fun to watch. Sorry,
I think there's some of the stuff's okay. I find it to be almost smug in its build-up.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah. Smug. Look, I'm entertained by Rachel Maddow. I'm also entertained by watching Bill O'Reilly for similar reasons.
Yes,
same smugness and same sort of magnetic and simultaneously slightly repulsive personality. Even though I like them both, and obviously politics.
I've never watched Hardball. I will watch it just out of curiosity.
Yeah, try it out.
Yeah, never watch. All right. There's your recommendation from the AV Club. Now beating, can I say that how you guys are doing?
No.
No.
You cannot.
More after this on 720 WGN.